Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You're listening to the Eat 'Em Up Pod, your home for Detroit Tigers opinions, discussion, nonsense, and more. Now, here are your hosts, Jordan Hall and Alex Urban.
Welcome to Eat 'Em Up. I'm Jordan Hall, and I'm joined by the tailgate king of Detroit, Alex Urban. Alex, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, Jordan. Good to talk with you. Fresh off opening day, and a Tigers win today. Thank goodness.
So everyone knows that you're obviously an audio star. This podcast goes out to hundreds, if not thousands, of listeners. You're also a TV star now.
Yeah, so we had a really fun time at the opening day tailgate right outside of Comerica Park off Woodward, and a couple local TV stations popped by and were looking for interviews. So one was Wood TV in Grand Rapids. They spoke to a couple of my friends that came over from the west side, and then they stumbled across me at the grill. So I was happy to oblige some local TV and give my thoughts on the tailgate season and the Tiger season as a whole.
It'd have been sick if they'd have gotten you like actually flipping the burgers, get the man in his element.
There was quite a bit of B-roll that they shot, and I was trying to get a little, you know, cheeky and do some different things, like maybe hibachi-esque, but it didn't make the cut.
No onion volcanoes. That would have been sick.
That's on the list for next year for sure. Come and see me if you're listening.
But all in all, good tailgate, good time.
Yeah, I'd say it was our best tailgate ever. Usually, like I said, we're at Eastern Market, but this year we were right outside the stadium, and you cannot beat that location. It was cold. It even snowed on us a little bit, which was a little bit of a kick in the head. The next couple days that were so beautiful, but all in all, it was a fantastic tailgate. Thanks, everybody, for coming out. And like I said, if you're listening next year, come see us.
That's including cool. You and Witch, yeah. Right? Yeah, hopefully we won't be traveling again, and that would be the ideal. That would love to take part. We were, the last couple days have been such a whirlwind. I don't even know where we were at, but we're finally back home. Love Charleston. Had a chance to take in a couple minor league games. Saw the Charleston River Dogs. They have a very nice stadium right on the river, and then the Asheville Tourists, which are allegedly the second oldest big league minor league stadium in baseball. Can't confirm that, but that's what they tell us. So, it was a cool experience. Saw Noah Schultz, the top pitching prospect for the White Sox. Dude is absolutely filthy. He's going to be a problem for us, lefty. So, sure. So that'll be fun to deal with over the next couple of years. We were like, I don't know, four rows behind plate. So I told Witt, I'm going to take a video of one of his nasty sliders and tweet it to the pitching ninja. He didn't retweet me, but Noah Schultz, both of his parents now follow me. the internet's a weird place. I'm sure they will come to regret that decision almost immediately.
Your video, and he's got some nasty White Castle sliders going on.
Yeah, it was one of those like, I'm just sitting behind home plate giggling at a 20-year-old throwing baseballs. Like, little uncomfortable. Also, there was only like, I don't know, 500 people in there. So it was me, Witt, with Ted Ebert, and like seven of our closest friends. Did you have an experience with the eclipse? I know a lot of our listeners probably enjoy a little astronomy.
Yeah, I was one person in my office had a pair of glasses. Shout out Jim. So he brought it for all of us, and we all kind of sat on the back of his truck and stared at the sun, and then we went back on our ways. But it was cool. I mean, this happened again, what, in 2017, and it's not supposed to happen again for another 20 years. So, yeah, I mean, astronomy. What are your thoughts? Are you a big eclipse guy?
So, no, not at all. But apparently we're living through a golden era of eclipses. I had no idea. We pulled into a rest area. So apparently like southern Indiana was kind of in the path of totality. We pulled into a rest area just north of Ohio. Once we got back in Indiana, which nothing makes you happier to be home in the state of Indiana, like traveling through Ohio, just the worst. But we get out at the rest area and there are people all over the lawn in their like eclipse merch, which I don't know exactly where you get eclipse merch. I don't think the eclipse was selling it, but you know, somebody was. So it was a whole experience. Like I just wanted to pee. But we got kind of drafted into the whole thing. So I kind of felt like I lived it a little bit there.
No, you didn't stare directly into the sun, did you?
I did not. I don't have a proclivity for staring into the sun. I know some people dig it, but it's not really my favorite.
I mean, the Tigers offense lately has kind of made you want to do that, but not today, baby.
Talk about not today. That's right. All right, let's talk some ball.
Let's talk ball, Jordan.
Hi, Tigers fans. It's Dan Dickerson, and you're listening to the Eat 'Em Up Pod with Jordan and Alex. Go Tigers!
I don't think it's a secret that the offense hasn't been hashtag good recently. What do you think is going on with our boys?
Where to begin? I mean, it just seems like the entire team is, outside of Mark Canha, the approaches have just been bad. Like, let's start
Agreed.
There. You know, slow on the fastball, you know, just really missing some pitches that should be really hittable in the zone, but I'm just not seeing good approaches at the plate. I'm seeing, you know, they're not swinging it at really hittable pitches. They're swinging at pitches in the dirt. It drives me crazy to see these guys get up 3-0 on a count and end up striking out because they're fouling off some bad pitches, or, you know, maybe getting squeezed or whatever's happening. But it's just seems like the approach is not there. And that's the biggest thing that stuck out to me. And I'm not willing to say it's the weather anymore. I'm not willing to say it's early in the season anymore. This is a problem that's been a problem for a couple of years, and it continues to be a problem. So I don't know if it's a hitting coach thing because it's the entirety of the team. I mean, obviously, they're going to have a bounce back during some games, but I'm starting to get concerned about this season overall with the way that their big boppers have been hitting.
Yeah, I feel like when you were talking about that, the name that flashed through my mind was Torque. I feel like I watch him and I'm like, man, take a pitch, my man. Like, just let's see one. And then they'll be in a bat where he's like, all right, it almost you can see on his face, like, I'm going to be patient in this one. And he immediately finds himself down 0-2 and the at bat is over. Like, we just haven't been able to kind of find that like balance on aggressiveness versus patience. Like there's a couple guys that have, but by and large, there's been some there's been some frustrating moments. I feel like we can kind of like the narrative around the boys, and you can tell me if you think this is wrong, is quickly gone to we haven't really beaten anybody, so this team probably isn't very good. Would you agree with that? That kind of the largely the mood?
Oh, wholeheartedly. I think the shine of the first couple seasons is completely gone and people are ready to write them off already.
Yeah, I have a little bit of a pushback on that. And this might take a little bit to spell out here. So humor me a little bit. I think there's a couple ways to look at what we've seen so far. The first is, yes, we are an okay team that's beaten some not great teams in close games. Too close of games, if you ask me. We dropped a few to the A's that we definitely shouldn't have. And I definitely think that is one way of looking at it. But I also think you can make a case that we're a very young team that's found a way to go, what is it, 7-4 now after the win today? Something like that. While hitting .214 and making an alarming amount of outs on the base paths. Obviously the truth is, as it always is somewhere in the middle, but you look at some of the numbers of guys like Cary Carpenter, he's currently hitting .200. Let me tell you something, like He hit 269 last year. He hit for way more pop last year than he has so far this year. That's a bat that will come around. We know what he is. He's much better than this. Jake, hitting 105 with zero pop. Career numbers, 685 OPS. Like, that is substantially better than what we've seen so far. Torque, don't even get me started there. The OPS is down almost 200 points on his career numbers. And then Riley's numbers are great, except for the batting average. Like, if you throw that out, everything looks really, really rosy. I know that I always come across as the optimist, but we are now 7-4 with a team that is hardly hitting and guys that eventually should round back into form. I almost think there's more to be happy about than irritated about at this point. Like, there's room for improvement. Do you follow my logic?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think I tweeted out from the Eat 'Em Up Twitter account, it can't be this bad for the entirety of the season. Like, these numbers are well below even the averages of, you know, what these guys have done in their career. And water tends to always find its level. There's a couple players that I'm concerned about in particular, Torkelson being one of them. But as a whole, you bring up a great point. If they're able to keep their heads above water, and I think the pitching staff can help them do that, you let the bats kind of come around to what they should be, or at least, you know, hit into what they've proven that they can. They don't even need to take that next big step that we're all kind of pining for, but if they can just hit to their ability, this is at least a 500 team. Is that fair to say?
I would 100% say that. And honestly, a 500 team, if we get to September at 500, we're going to be in it. Like, there's going to be the ability to make a run there. Yeah, I obviously I'm always going to be the one that comes across as too optimistic, but I'm in on the guys. I think that there's no reason to think that some of these bats don't round into at least career average form. And if they do that, we're sitting fairly pretty.
The thing that really has stuck out to me this season so far is the not even the lack of slugging percentage or hard hit balls. They're just so not clutch today, not included. Like, especially Spencer Torkelson, it just feels like, you know, you get the bases loaded, you hit into, you know, a pop fly or a double play or something like that. You're just waiting for that big hit to come around. And it's almost like they fear the moment, and nobody kind of wants to, you know, take that big hack and go for it. It reminds me of the Red Wings right now, and I don't know how much of a hockey guy you are, but, like, you know, they miss a lot of empty net goals because they try to get too cute and they never shoot the puck. I just want some of these guys to I don't know, just really go for it. There's nothing behind that, but we just need to have some dogs on this team. You know what I'm saying? Like, the mentality of, like, yeah, we're really going to break this team open instead of kind of just get up there with their tail between the legs and hope for their best.
Which is kind of weird. You got guys like Parker Meadows. I feel like he oozes having that dog in him. Colt Keith. I mean, you literally can't be named Colt Keith without having a dog inside you. Yeah. I agree. It's crazy. Some of the guys that, like, you actually want up in the situations like that are like Urshela and Carson Kelly, all these guys that you would never assume, they've actually been the ones that have delivered the big hits so far. Which, once again, I think is, and obviously Carey Carpenter had a huge hit today. I think that that's a good sign. I think that shows a well-rounded team that when some of the big dogs start to hit again, like, you're looking at a fairly deep, at least averagely deep lineup. Yeah. So that's kind of where I'm at. Yeah.
And quite honestly, maybe it's a confidence thing. Like, they've been, you know, kicked a couple games in a row and the aggressive approach just isn't there, but, you know, winning and hitting well is contagious. Maybe this is the game that springboards them, and they're going to need it, Jordan, because we got some really tough series coming up against the Twins in Texas, but maybe this is what kind of vaults them into it. But they all kind of need to pick each other up here, because they're doing
definitely
the opposite of picking each other up here. And I feel like the non-hitting is permeating the dugout right now.
Yeah. And I feel like the Oakland series, it was a great example of that. We just kept doing dumb things and having dumb at bats and giving up dumb runs at dumb times. Not even like not hard hit stuff. Like, it just was a very frustrating series as a fan. And honestly, it even bled to last night, which was Monday night, the first of the Pirates series. It almost just seemed like there was a little bit of hoodoo that was stinking things up. And yeah, maybe it was just a palate cleanser today. Beautiful day in Pittsburgh. Nothing like that to get things back on the right track.
I hope so. And to go back to the A's series a little bit, I found this fascinating. This is from Evan Woodbury with MLive. The last time the Tigers won a home series against the Oakland Athletics was April of 2016. They are 4-21 against Oakland at Comerica Park since then. So, you know, I was listening to Days of Roar earlier today. At Bobby Scales on there, the talented radio host, along with Dan Dickerson. And he, you know, foreign player, he says, some teams just have your number and nobody knows if there's anything to it. And you're not going to, you know, that's not scientific in any way. But some organizations and some teams just play well against other teams. And I think,
yeah,
you know, that in a vacuum makes you feel a little bit better. I mean, you want to, you see Oakland, you see what other teams do to Oakland. You're like, well, the Tigers must stink because they can't do that. Not necessarily. And you're not going to bludgeon every team just because they're expected to have a bad season, especially this early in the season.
Yeah. Baseball is, it's such a low key mental game that I feel like people sleep on that aspect. Like, you enter a series and you're like, oh man, not these guys again. Like, that's probably going to breed a little bit less success. Before we move off of Bobby, have you had the chance to listen to him on the radio with Dan? We actually caught a couple of his games on the way to and from. Have you had the chance?
Yeah, I think he brings some unique and interesting energy. I think he plays very well off of Dan. It's a little bit of a, I don't have the word for it, but like, faster, quicker conversation than him and Jimmy Price, RIP, which, you know, kind of comes with the territory. But I think that they play very well off of each other. There's definitely room for improvement as they're kind of feeling each other out. But I think they have something there.
Yeah, I agree. Definitely. We had wanted to talk a little bit about the Rooks, Colt Keith, Austin Meadows. You got yourself into a little bit of a Twitter spat over Colt Keith. The poll was just brought him up too soon. Is that, I can't remember.
So I will take complete ownership. It was poorly phrased. What I was trying to get at is where are people with Colt Keith? Is he just going through a rough patch and it's going to come around, which I actually am of the belief. I mean, he's got some of the hardest hit balls in the team right now. He's got some really good approaches, not even to mention his defense. But do people, and I just wanted their opinion, do people think he's kind of learning on the job and there is that learning curve that he's going through right now and kind of just getting in the spin cycle and learning how to be a big leaguer, and he's going to take his lumps? Not necessarily that he was called up too soon, because I don't know if he had anything else to prove in Toledo. But, you know, it's the first time in a long time that a kid broke camp like this. First time I can ever remember that they gave a contract to a kid like this. So I was curious if people thought maybe it was too soon of a move or if, where people are at with it. Definitely should have included an option and let me know that, you know, he's doing just fine. But I was curious, you know, where people are at with Colt Keith. And since then, he's done nothing to prove that other than the results aren't there. He's getting BABIP to death, right? And he's hitting the balls hard. There's just not hitting hold in the field. So,
yeah, we were on the road for all of that. We pulled to where we stopped and I looked at my phone and there was like 1,000 which apparently I have notifications for the Eat 'Em Up Twitter feed on my phone. Like, oh boy, that must have been one spicy meatball. Then I looked back and yeah, obviously I agreed with just about everything you said. Oh, the internet, gotta love it. Yeah, specifically with Colt, I was looking it up today. He played 77 games, 67 last year and 10 this year above double A. My man is 77 games into his high end baseball career. The at bats look good. The swings look good. I have very little doubt that the success will come. What success looks like this year as a rookie and a very young and experienced rookie, like that kind of remains to be seen. But yeah, he looks to me the part. You're talking about getting BABIP to death. Parker Meadows' his current batting average in balls in play is 133. That will drastically increase. He he smokes the ball enough that that will sneak up. But to me, both guys are taking walks. Colts, 4 walks to 4 strikeouts on the year. You can live with that. And Parker Meadows, 7 walks to 10 Ks, which for a guy who feels like he's never on base, I mean, that's a fairly healthy walk to strikeout ratio. I think we're just going to have to be patient with those guys. And Parker's already got 2 steals. So we're easing quickly towards that that 20 mark that I think we both said he might not hit. Fools. What do we know?
I call him the 2020 guy, and the swipes are there, but I don't know about the long balls, but it's still incredibly early, right? I think he's lost a little bit of his aggressiveness at the plate starting early. But like I said, I think once the season goes on and he gets a little bit more comfortable, I still like him in the leadoff spot, especially because of his speed. It will come around for both of those guys. And I think they're going to be patient with them. I hope they're going to be patient with them, because you don't really have anybody in the minor leagues, especially for Cole Keith, with that kind of ability where you got to see what you got, right? Unless these guys are absolutely getting blown away, which hasn't been the case just yet. Got to be patient with them.
Definitely. You mentioned in a little bit about how kind of some of the goodwill from the first 2 series was wiped away with the kind of disastrous Oakland series, and then the incredibly frustrating game last night in Pittsburgh. You think we got a little bit of that back with the comeback win today? Like, it's not just a win. I feel like the way they did it makes me pretty eager to see what this next week looks like.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Tigers Twitter was ready to revolt, right? Like, it was doom and gloom. Like, you thought that the team started winless, essentially. And when you're staring down the barrel of a 4-game losing streak, a potential mini sweep against the Pirates, drop 2 against the A's, and they're just not hitting whatsoever, it's uncomfortable to feel right after the good start of the season. But I do feel like this was a little bit of a reset for Tigers fans, at least for myself, where I'm like, all right, you know, these are the ebbs and flows of the season. People are always going to have hot takes early, but we really need to see them measured up against the stronger teams in the league to see where they're at. And this was a great example of the team not quite literally not giving up until the very end. And it helped that the Pirates pitcher absolutely imploded and Torkelson got hit by the pitch and didn't have an opportunity to, you know, end the inning quickly. But that said, yeah, I was much more excited to talk to you, not that I'm not all the time, but about baseball,
of course,
than having to talk baseball after a 4-game losing streak.
Yeah, definitely. And considering we have the luxury of hindsight on today's game, I would be remiss if I didn't bring up Casey Mize's performance. Wasn't perfect again, but there are definite building block signs. There were in his first start, and there were again. I kind of in spring thought that maybe he might need some time at Toledo to kind of work through stuff. He's working on it out on the big league mound in big league stadiums, and he just keeps pumping gas. Like, it's kind of the Casey that we saw when he first came up. Like, if you give that guy this much gas, I think it's a whole different narrative around him. I don't know. I'm very happy with what we've seen. I'm very optimistic. And truthfully, until things kind of went south last night, Reese Olson was looking really nasty again on the mound in Pittsburgh.
Yeah. I mean, it's, if you look at the pitching in a vacuum, there's a lot to like. And when Casey Mize today was consistently throwing 98, it really got my attention. I mean, there's always going to be things to work on, but every start for him in my mind is another step forward to being the pitcher a little bit more of what it was advertised when he went 1-1. And I don't ever think he's going to be the ace of the staff, but that's not the expectation anymore. Just be the best version of Casey Mize that you can be and be a solid contributor and get that velo back, get some of that movement back. They might really have something. So I was very pleased with what I saw today. Rough start for Reese Olson yesterday, but I still think he's got some dynamic stuff. And you know, he had a great first start in my mind. So I'm pretty pleased. Kenta Maeda, still like him, even though he kind of got beat up in his last start, but after he settled in, you know, his velocity is way down, but you know, he really managed the damage for the rest of that game. And he was able to stick with it while riding between like 88 and 91. I don't know if he topped out in 92 with his fastball at all. So Jack Flaherty, that kind of concerned me in terms of his last start. He kind of looked like the gas can of the last couple of years he has been. But other than that,
I'm hoping with Jack, it's just kind of a little bit more of a roller coaster ride. Like we might be in for some really good ones and some really bad ones, not just rough. I do want to go back to Reese Olson. That one inning when he threw like 35 pitches, I don't know that I've ever seen a human's cheeks be so red. He looked so gassed. It was hilarious. I'm like, can't we get my man some water out here? He looks like he's about to overheat.
Yeah,
fortunately, I don't think he did.
But yeah, I totally agree with you. Reese Olson just looked gassed out there.
Flush.
Flush is a great way to put it.
The only other thing that I wanted to get to, first injury of the year goes to Andy Abania. So we now no longer have anybody that can hit lefties. Wenzel Perez is up. What do you think? Kind of like it.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of, and I know we were texting about this, just seeing what you got and what better time than when injury strikes than to call up a guy and see what he can do, his major league debut. And it's not like he was absolutely crushing the ball in Toledo, but you know, he's a big bat-to-ball guy, plays decent defense, and sometimes you just need that little bit of a spark plug. I thought it was totally unfair that he had to go up against Chapman in his first start, and he got like...
Have fun with that one, kid.
102 on the black, and then just got the stare down, and I don't know. I can't imagine what he was thinking in that moment. Just like, why didn't I become a barista? Why am I playing baseball? Yeah. Something like that. But that must have been quite a moment. I know they asked him after the game if he followed Chapman growing up. He's like, oh yeah, I'm well aware of the kind of player that he is and his ability.
I like to imagine what was going through Chapman's head in that moment. Like, yeah, you just got out of the eighth inning against a rookie in a game in April. Like, why are we staring people down? I mean, I get competitiveness, but what are we doing?
I kind of thought he was probably licking his chops a little bit when he saw Mr. Perez stroll up to the plate.
Would have thought so. But yeah, like he's kind of just the almost like Parker Meadows, like where he just makes stuff happen. It's not always going to be good, but like he's usually doing some. He's involved in the action. Obviously, at bats are going to be hard to come by with his current spot on the roster. But yeah, I have no issues with like the at the point when he came up, we needed a spark. I don't think that it's probably going to be him, but there was no reason not to just give it a try. So. Yeah, I like it.
It was very strange to me that the news broke from just like a Tigers Twitter account that was followed. I don't know if it was his page or like someone in his camp, but like the beat writers were not on it at first. So everybody's kind of wondering, like, is Parker Meadows being sent down? There was no way him or Cole Keith were going to get sent down, and people were kind of mentioning that. So you assumed it was an injury. A lot of people, or I don't want to say a lot of people, but a few people I saw on Twitter were like, ah, Javier Baez finally DFA'd. I was like, there's zero chance. and then, of course, you find out it's Abanez. Get well soon, Andy. I don't know if it's Perez's time just yet here. But, hey, welcome to the show, kid. See what you can do.
As you previously mentioned, this week will look a little different than previous weeks. Day off on Wednesday. Perfect day for listening to the pod. And then head, or I guess, yeah, head back home for three with Minnesota. It'll be a good one. Pablo Lopez and Scooble on Thursday. That will be appointment television. Oh man, it's a day game. I feel like I love day games, but I also, I technically have to work. So I'm, you know, split attention. It's nice to have something like going on during the workday, but I would be lying if I didn't say I preferred them in the evening when I can just devote full attention, but that'll be a really good one. And then Joe.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ryan and Bailey Ober, that'll be a really nice test early. I say nice on the front end. Hopefully it will still look like a nice test on the back end.
I'm excited. I mean, first divisional test of the season. The Guardians have raced out to an early lead, but in my mind, it's still the Twins that you have to really measure yourself against and who you're going to be racing against at the end of the season. So take 2 out of 3 against the Twins, and I think Tigers Twitter and Tigers fandom are going to be quite happy. That first game with Scooble that you mentioned, that is going to be must-see TV, but I don't think there's going to be a lot of offense on either side.
Yeah, definitely. Also, my apologies. It is a 4-game set. Olsen and Louis Varland on Sunday. Man, that's this Sunday. That'd be a good game to get to. I don't know if I'll be able to make that happen. But that would be a good game to get to. And then that is followed by hosting the current world champion Rangers. So that will also be a fun time. I say that, you know, begrudging that we're going to face one of the best offenses in baseball, but that actually will be a really nice test for the pitching staff. See exactly where we're at against, as previously mentioned, one of the best lineups in baseball, including the man that we potentially could have drafted, Wyatt Langford.
So let me ask you this, Jordan. And I think I know the answer, but is Max Clark forever going to be tied at the hip and compared to Wyatt Langford throughout his career? Throughout both of them?
I think there is a chance of that, yeah. I think Max needs to maybe even develop into a different type of player. I think Wyatt Langford's going to be your kind of classic, more middle-of-the-order bat, whereas we need Max to be like an elite leadoff hitter. If he ends up as a number three hitter type, I don't think he's going to have the same production level that Wyatt Langford will over the course of his career, and it will always look not so good. But the wild card in here is if Kevin McGonigal turns into a stud too, suddenly things look a little bit different. He needs to get himself back on the field first, but there is every bit as much of a chance of that happening as not. Dude can flat out hit, in which case it will look a little different. I can't help but think at this moment in time that maybe we played it a little too cute. But as I think we mentioned last week on the show, I am willing to give Scott Harris a little bit of leash and just trust that he knows what he's doing. Got good hair.
Yeah. Great hair. Yeah. I mean, Max, is there any hand wringing for you with Max Clark's performance so far? I mean, he just got his first hit today. So I think he is now 1-11, but incredibly early. He didn't light the world on fire last year. Do you think the hand wringing or pearl clutching is correct here? Or is it recency bias because you see Wyatt Langford is potentially the front runner for the rookie of the year?
Yeah, I don't think there is. It was always going to be an extremely slow process with him. My current home state of Indiana, we don't exactly play like the world's best baseball here. So it's not just that you're taking a high school kid. It's that you're taking a high school kid from a non-baseball power state. It was always going to take a while. It sounds like they basically broke his swing down and built it back up, which I guess better to do that sooner rather than later if you that's something that you think is necessary. So I would say that I have minimal expectations for this year. I would love to see the walk rate increase because you don't have to have a great swing to be able to work an at bat and maybe get those strikeouts down a little bit. But I think that if we try to compare those two this year, we are going to end up very, very sad. That might be something we just need to like hold our nose and not look at for like 2.5 years and then reevaluate. But that's just me.
That's totally fair. I mean, they're just so far apart in their baseball journeys.
Like, yes. Yeah, exactly.
Was pretty pro ready when he was drafted. And like you say, Max Clark is a project in by the definition of the term.
Definitely. Instead of focusing on Max Clark, we need to focus on our boy Josue Brasueño down there in Lakeland. 4 walks in his first 13 plate appearances. I can't remember. I think he only has 1 or 2 hits to go with them. So it's most of the OBP. I want to say his OBP was like pushing 450 or something like that. Mostly due to the walks, but, that's a guy that I firmly have my eye on, basically checking the box score for every night. Could be wrong. He just looks, what was Rod Allen's hitterish? Is that his word? He looks very hitterish to me. Yeah. If we can get him watching Miggy's batting practice for a couple of years, that would probably be all that we need to make him a stud.
You were the first person to kind of put him on my radar. So he is your boy, and he's proven you right here early in the minor league season.
Let's keep it going, Josue. You wanted to talk about Jaden Hamm. Interesting name, interesting background.
Pitcher in West Michigan. Don't know a ton about the kid, but I've just seen a couple people on Tigers Twitter, including our boy Raj, was a big fan of this kid, and he mentioned as somebody to watch. So he didn't have, you know, he had a 0 ERA last season in a small sample size. He's started this season off with a bang and just someone to keep an eye on. We don't have a ton of pitching depth in the Tiger system, especially at the low level minors. I mean, it's Jackson Job, collection of other guys, and it kind of falls off a cliff. But it would be really good to build some depth in the lower minor leagues. And this is just a name to keep tabs on. Again, just a name that I've seen floated about around there and kind of checked in the stats, and it raised an eyebrow. But I definitely think that is someone who could rise quickly in the system because they are desperately in need of lower level, high octane pitching. And he could be the guy.
Yeah, it sounds like he kind of came out of, I can't remember, it was a smaller Northeastern college, throwing kind of sitting 91 to 94, which if they move him out into the bullpen or kind of, I think he threw 3 innings in his first outing. If he's more used in long relief, you would assume that the velocity would play up a little bit. Yeah, there's no reason to think he can't move quickly through the system, specifically if he ends up out in the bullpen. Not a whole lot of competition for him there. So here's something that I learned. Apparently you can watch many minor league games on the MILB app if you have the a subscription to MLB at bat. So I watched Jackson Job throw his first start of the year. I Whit was in, she's got a wedding coming up, so she was dress shopping, and I was watching the Jackson Job, and she was like, "Oh, I'm so sorry it took so long." I'm like, "I'm just here watching my man get his innings in. I'm good. You do your thing." Struck out Dylan Cruz in the first inning. The LSU product ended up giving up 3 unearned runs, 3 Ks, 3 walks, some good and some bad. He just looks so good. He looks like such a polished pro on the mound. That's my dude. I love him.
I can't wait to see him. I can't wait to see more of him. And I was screaming at my phone when they drafted him over Marcelo Meyer, screaming. And I would love nothing more than to be proved wrong because I thought it was like the biggest Alavila blunder of all time. But
which is saying something. I
mean, yeah. And I still think Alavila is a horrible GM, but of course they know considerably more than we do, you know, watching at home. And they played the Moneyball game in that draft too. I can't, was it Isaac Pacheco that they got?
Mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, he looks okay so far,
yeah,
but
not ideal.
To your point, Jackson,
that just means we're due to hit on McGonagall. That's how it works.
I sure hope so, man. I sure hope so. But yeah, you're absolutely right. And Jackson Jobe, looking forward to hopefully seeing him in the rotation as early as next season. Is that too bold to say, or is that?
I think that's reasonable. I think that's reasonable. I don't think it's a lock by any stretch, but I think it's reasonable. Injury bug hit Toledo. Edis Leonard, my boy, looks like he's got some, he's going to be out for a while with a left oblique injury. And then obviously Ryan Kreidler, is going to be out for quite some time, which is a super bummer. It seems like he just can't shake the injury bug, which sucks. Cause I want to see him up. I want to see him contributing.
I agree. You hate to see guys that they just can't stay on the field. You just kind of yearning for them to break out, and it always seems like one thing happens. I mean, player that reminds me, not at all in terms of ability, but just the, you know, you want them to stay in the field so you can see what they do, is Trevor Story. You see, he's out for the rest of the year.
Honestly, it'd be pretty sick if it was a comp or a ability based comp. We'll take that. As you were building up there, the name that came to my mind was Scott Sizemore, which is a name I hadn't thought of in a very, very long time.
Former future second baseman of the future.
Exactly. Very well put. The only other guy I wanted to get to, another really strong outing for Keeter Montero. I would be lying if I said this was anything more than box score checking, but he is now 8 innings, no earned runs, 10 Ks, and less than a 1 whip. I'm definitely going to have to check in on some of his next starts coming up, because he's starting to make himself very, very front and center in the Toledo rotation.
And everything I've read about Keeter is that the organization is very high on him. So, you know, if there's a spot start, I mean, you still got Matt Manning as the de facto guy who's going to come up when you need to start. But I think we are going to see Keeter sometime this season for sure. And they're going to need him.
Also, I don't know if we touched on this. I can't remember if this was before after our last show or not. But Manning played or pitched very well in his spot start. I feel like he should. I feel like with it being a doubleheader, it kind of went under the radar. But he that was a pretty clutch pitching for him.
He looked great. He looked great, and you know, he's taking it on the chin metaphorically in terms of getting sent down. So if he continues to pitch really well, and they continue to have, you know, some blow-ups in the rotation as it stands between Maeda, Olsen, and Flaherty, we might see him again, and he might stick around more than just a doubleheader day.
Yeah, definitely. Do you have a nomination for this week's Tiger King? You got a crown you want to give away?
It was tough. If they would have lost today, I would have just said no.
Nobody gets it.
For me, it's Mark Canna. I think he just looks like the most professional hitter on the team right now. He is the veteran presence that I think they've needed for a while, and I hope that the guys can kind of take, you know, page out of his playbook, and just the patience and the approach at the plate and the way that he's seeing the ball right now and the way that he's hitting the ball, I think looks good too. Playing very adequate defense. I've been pleased with Mark Canna so far. So in a week where I don't have somebody where I absolutely want to anoint them Tiger King, Mark Canna gets my crown. How about yourself?
I'm going to give my nomination to David Bednar. I think in a very real sense, he may have just saved our season. So appreciate you, big man. You really did us a solid. Hopefully you gave us a springboard to get back on track. So that's where I'm going.
We really needed
enough
that
said
too.
There. You want to jump into listener questions?
Yeah, let's do it. Thank you very much for the listeners for submitting questions this week. We got quite a few between Twitter and Reddit. So Mr. Sparty on Reddit says, obviously the biggest talking points are the back. We talked about this a little bit at the top of the show. What do you think has to change for them to get going? Is there a solution that can happen mid-season, or are we doomed until the offseason? That's a good question, Jordan. In terms of additions, do you think something can be done at the deadline if they're in it, or are we going to have to wait till next offseason to see any kind of a splash?
I
My gut says no, that there's virtually no chance that they would give up a future piece to add somebody to this year's team. And if it does happen, it's not going to be till really close to the deadline. I think Harris is going to want to make 100% sure that like it's going to be worth it. I'm not going to say that I don't think he would take that chance if he was right in there and a hole continues. I mean, there's obviously several holes right now, but a hole continues to be apparent. But I just think as conservative as they've been with virtually every person in the system, that it's unlikely. There's a couple Justin Henry Molloy has been off to a really hot start down in Toledo. I think you could potentially see him get more at bats, I guess, considering he's in Toledo, get any at bats up in the big leagues. He could see some time in the DH spot. He could see some time in the outfield, move Riley to center if Parker isn't hitting. I think that's one chance. I could see Jace Young coming up at some point, although he hasn't exactly been lighting the world on fire down at Toledo either. But I also can't help but think that maybe he's just a little bit bored down there, kind of taking the opposite approach as Matt Manning did. I can't help but think, unfortunately, that if we're going to fix it, it's going to be internally, which I guess long term is the play. This is hopefully just the beginning of the window. But if we're there, it would be there will definitely be calls for it. How about you?
No, I totally agree with you. This is the team for this season, you know, whether we all like it or not. This is, you know, this is unfortunately another like reflection year in my mind for what Scott Harris is doing. You're going to see if your core guys can take that next step forward between Riley Green, Spencer Torkelson, Kerry Carpenter. You're going to see what you have in the rookies, Parker Meadows and Cole Keith, and then the supplemental pieces around them. And if you can get anything out of Javier Baez, the guys that you mentioned, absolutely. But, the offense has the potential to get going. And there are some silver linings that I don't even know we've touched on today. Gio Urshela has been a really bright spot for me in this lineup.
Yeah.
He is just, you know, the only clutch hitter that they have on the team in my mind right now. He makes the right play at the right time. And I think he has, I looked at the stats earlier, he is well outperforming Matt Chapman this season. So for everybody that it was in, you know, extremely small sample size, but Gio Urshela has been to date a much better signing for the Tigers than Matt Chapman has for the Giants.
I think we need to keep a Urshela versus Chapman watch just every night. See how those two compare. I think that'll be a good thing for all of our mental healths.
Absolutely. Yeah. Continuing right along, just mentioned this gentleman, Jim, this guy on Reddit. What, if anything, can be done about Baez? Are we really going to suffer through this until he's a free agent in, checks notes, 2028?
That's not what I needed to hear tonight. I was having a good night until that then. If he doesn't pick it up and we're winning, eventually he's going to eat the money, right? Like it has to happen. If we're a good enough team that having a real shortstop and there is another option to go to, if that's going to make the difference, like it's a lot of money, but it's not that much money. I think there is a time when he eats the money if it's necessary, but that is more of a hunch than any sort of like based on anything. What about you?
I'm going to go out on a limb and say Javier Baez will not be a Detroit Tiger in 2027 and obviously 2028. I think you're stuck with him for the next couple seasons because they're not going to eat a huge percentage of that contract. But I think at some point they will approach him for a buyout, you know, or just eat the money as it is. But it's not going to be this season. It may not be next season, but you know, the following after that, we're not going to see him play out that contract in Detroit. And I am fully expecting him to go on a tear with whatever team he lands with for 1 week after they do that.
Definitely. That being said, I would be surprised if he doesn't start the most games at shortstop in the 2024, 25, and 26 season. Like, I'd be very surprised if somebody started more games there, barring an injury or an air quotes injury.
His defense has looked more consistent to me. And, you know, I know the infield coach has been working with quite a bit. watch him, you know, as he's feeling ground balls in the infield, he's moving his feet more. He's using more of his body to throw the ball. He's not just relying on arm strength alone. And I think that's helped quite a bit. I mean, there's been many, much fewer balls in the dirt that Torkelson has had to dig out and less terrible throws. So at the very least, that's a silver lining. He's lost the plate for me.
That's one thing that Dan and Bobby spent a lot of time talking about is taking more time setting his feet and making good throws. And essentially, like, the big compliment that they're giving him is he's no longer bouncing every throw. Like, where have we gotten that a former Gold Glove shortstop, that is now a compliment that we need to give to him? Oh my gosh. But at least he's not. He could be bouncing every throw too, which at least at the moment he isn't. And I hope that he doesn't get bored of nice footwork, because I suspect that he is the type that very well may. Let's enjoy it while it lasts.
Like when I'm golfing with my friends and I am like easily the worst golfer I know, never scratched 110 in my life. And they always do it's good contact, right? You're looking for any kind of silver lining compliment just to give somebody. And that's where we are with Javier Baez. If he doesn't completely screw the pooch with every opportunity to get, you're like, hey, great. Keep it up, man.
Exactly. Yeah. The contact, faintest, you know, of faint praises.
That could be, you know, a compliment for him at the plate as well.
Yeah. Hey, you made you tipped one this time. Yeah.
This is from a buddy of mine, Jordan Borkert. As a Cleveland Guardians fan, I was worried about the Tigers this year based on how they ended last year, and they lost their ace to Tommy John. But now he's feeling okay seeing the Tigers offense. What needs to happen with the Tigers in the next month for him to start worrying about this team again?
Ooh, that's a good one. I think it has to be offensive life. Like, I think if we keep winning, I tried to spin it as a positive that we're winning despite not hitting. If we win, if we keep winning while not hitting, it starts to become unsustainable. So I think it has to be just offensive life, specifically from Riley, which I'm good with what Riley's done, but Torque and Kerry Carpenter. I think that's what, if I were a Guardians fan, what would make me take notice. But fortunately, I have never been a Guardians fan, nor do I have any ties to the state of Ohio at all. So living the hashtag blessed life there.
Yeah. I mean, for me, the pitching staff just has to keep the team above water for the bats to come around at some point. Because even if you have a league average offense, the way that the starting rotation looking and the bullpen is looking, they can make some serious noise. So for Guardians fans or any other fans of the division to be kind of waiting for that next shoe to fall. If the team is above or at 500 going into May and the warm weather creeps in and the bats are going to start heating up, that's what I would say.
One more thing before we move on. And I don't know that we've even said his name, maybe in the existence of this podcast, but shout out to Shelby Miller. Dude has come out absolutely dealing. Your boy Foley's gotten a lot of the coverage, and some of the other guys, Tyler Holton, but Shelby Miller has been a great addition to the bullpen so far. Loving that.
Yeah. I think he has the most wins on the team, which pitcher wins are nothing, but, you know, kind of fun to keep track of just for, you know, three wins on the early season. So no, but I agree. He has been, exceptional so far in my mind. And I think it was a great pickup.
It'd be really funny to see a reliever get like high double digit wins. I don't know. Like, it would take obviously extreme luck, but that would be super fun. I want to see that happen.
Maybe it'll be our boy Shelby. And I love the oddity of number 7 for a relief pitcher.
Yes, definitely. I love that too.
This is from @Lintner on Twitter. Alex Lange, technical turtleneck. Am I the only one to notice the rebuild didn't start turning around until the organization brought Central Michigan legend Zach McKinstry into the fold? Fire up, Chips. You are not the only person to mention. I too have noticed that Zach McKinstry is the elixir of life for this organization, and I will leave it at that.
There was a Fire Up Chips fan in the front row of the game last night. I thought it might have been you in disguise. Although I guess that wouldn't really be disguise.
I wish it was me. There was a Dan LeFever mention, the best college quarterback that the state of Michigan has ever seen. But yeah, I've got some stuff up my sleeve for my trip to Fenway Park later this season if Zach McKinstry is still on the team.
For that reason, I think we're going to have to become a Zach McKinstry podcast and really pull for him to try and get him there.
He is also like the de facto, I don't even know what you call it, but like what the player that Bally Sports always makes do, like the silly stuff when they're on the road. Or not necessarily. So like he goes to the museums, and I think they had him with the eclipse glasses and stuff, and they have him doing the, you know, the stuff for the promos a lot. I guess he's just got a lot of time on his hands.
Yeah, I feel like that's the player that like I want to hang out with. I like Riley. I like Torque. I think both of them would be a fun hang. But the guy that they're making do all of the stuff and is actually willing to, that's the guy that I want to chill with. So
I love it.
And Johnny Kane, of course.
I love it. All right, Jordan, I think that's it for this week. Anything you wanted to close on?
I don't think so. I think I just want to leave everyone with the thought, like there's a couple ways to look at what the Tigers have done so far. What we decide to think about it doesn't change the reality in the slightest. So you might as well like enjoy the early success. Don't worry about who we've played and just like, yeah, this is fun. We're having fun. We care about baseball again. Baseball will come for our soul eventually. Like live it up right now while you can.
Incredibly well stated. Incredibly well stated. And the only thing I have to add to that is,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. Oh, I was just going to bring up the t-shirts. So if you actually have something substantial to say, hit me.
Oh, my only other thing was how nice is it to be able to watch this team and have the feelings of pulling your hair out because you have expectations rather than watching this team with complete apathy?
Yes, definitely. It's better to feel pain than nothing at all. I think. I guess we'll find out as the season progresses.
Okay, none of that.
All right. So one more thing before we get out of here, and a good podcast host would have mentioned this at the top and not at the very end of the show, but here we are. We teamed up with a good friend at Athletes Logo on Twitter. He is making I collabed. Is that what the kids still say? We collabed on at Athletes Logos, I feel like calling it a line of t-shirts seems too much, but it's more than one. So I guess I don't know, a couple t-shirts. There is an Eat 'em Up design. There's also a Fear the Spear, Pizza Spear design. And then one that's Motor City Kitties. And then the final one is a play on how freaking long this rebuild has taken, and that hopefully we are now in fact built, which is a little bit presumptuous, but maybe it's like a manifesting thing. We're just trying to put that out into the universe, that the rebuild is over. We are now built and it's time to go forth. I'll link the page in the show notes. And I'll tweet it out and put it on all the socials and stuff. But they're pretty cool. And I believe that if you sign up for something, there was like 10% off. So go do that.
I love it. Can't wait to check them out. And like you said, they will be in the show notes. So with that, you are at hosted by Jay Hall. I am at AUrban91. And the show is at Eat 'em Up Pod on Twitter and Instagram. New episodes every Wednesday. Would kindly like to ask for reviews, subscriptions, follow us on Twitter, engage in a conversation, and we will see you next week. Go Tigers.
Go Tigers.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.